Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Today we talked with Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt, who received a diagnosis of stage 3 melanoma after retiring from the Phillies. What were his initial feelings after being diagnosed? How does he help promote sun safety for current players and sports fans? We delve into all that and more in this week's episode.
Can you discuss the initial thoughts that went through your head after you learned that you had stage 3 melanoma in 2013?
Well, as a diagnosis that I had hoped that I would never get, I knew that I was a candidate because I had gone through many issues with squamous cell and basal cell and had several Mohs surgeries. And as I said, I always sort of prayed that I wouldn't ever get the call about melanoma. And I did. When I got the call, it was following a biopsy that by sheer luck, a dermatologist down here in Jupiter, Florida found. He called me, I got a call 2 days afterwards that said that it was stage 3 melanoma. And that they were going to push me off to a melanoma expert here and who sent me to speak with the Mass General team up there, and it was agreed upon that surgery should be immediate, you know, as soon as we could get that done to remove it from my back. So a lot of things were going on after I got that call, after I was diagnosed. A lot of communication issues, a lot of discussions with my wife and trying to stay positive, and you know, it was a tough call to take.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a, I want to say luckily, but I had some kind of take my mind off of it right after I got the call. I had what I considered a really important golf tournament to play, so I pushed those surgery off for 4 or 5 days, and I ended up winning the golf tournament. It was a senior amateur event in Rhode Island, so I became the Rhode Island senior amateur champion right before I went into the hospital.
Okay.
So, you know, that just kind of took my mind off it a little bit.
Yeah.
But once I had a chance to go face-to-face with the oncologist up at Mass General, I felt better about it. I was assured that there was a lot of things out there, you know, for me to use to find my cure, and a lot of immunotherapy drugs available. So, you know, it wasn't like it might have been 20, 30 years ago where it was a death sentence, you know.
Mm-hmm. And now, so you did, I know I read that you underwent multiple surgeries, you had chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Did you suffer any side effects that were immediate? And then also, are there any maybe late-term effects that you are experiencing now, 5 years later?
Well, actually, I did not use what would be a sort of a chemotherapy as we know it. I would say, well, it was a chemical drug therapy, actually, but
okay.
And I did have some side effects from it, but I wouldn't, you know, and I was infused for 30 straight days for an entire week for a month, and I did have side effects. I did, but some of the side effects that you've heard with heavy chemotherapy, I didn't have, luckily. But mm-hmm. I had, the first day I had chills, very, very serious chills, and I couldn't stop it. I had a loss of appetite. I had, I lost 20 pounds, a little bit of hair loss, but not, vomiting or serious headaches. Some things that you might have heard about, you know, side effects from, you know, the big time chemotherapy.
Yeah.
That particular protocol that I went through was not successful.
Okay.
So we moved on to the next one. And radiation, definitely. Radiation was part of it. Once I had surgery to remove my lymph nodes on the left left, the upper left side of my body under my left arm, I did go through a month of chemotherapy, okay. Excuse me, of radiation. Mm-hmm. So light chemotherapy and radiation in the early stages following my diagnosis was what I went through.
How is your health currently? Are you considered no evidence of disease? Where does that stand?
I had then found out that I think 3 lymph nodes were affected, and then we found 12 spots in my lungs and 7 spots in my brain. Now, that's when, the the dark times came in. You know, that was the toughest part of it all to deal with. Melanoma diagnosed as a mole on your back is one thing, but when you find out that it had spread into your lymph nodes, and I think we all know that cancer getting in lymph nodes sort of elevates the concern. Mm-hmm. And when it got to my lungs, and that was another thing that sort of heightened the fear. And then when I found out after a lucky bout with a couple of headaches 2 days in a row, I called my oncologist down here and told him that, and he recommended an MRI of the brain, in which we found 7 spots in my brain. Now, when we say spots, I mean, I was told, they're not like big lesions or tumors or anything like that. I mean, they would refer to them as lesions, but maybe the size of a pencil eraser.
Okay.
The biggest one was the size of a pencil eraser. So we definitely caught everything early. Same with the lungs. The spots were very small. You could barely, you almost have to be an oncologist to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was assured that all of these things, could be cured, could be attacked with modern medicine. The lung issue moved us to another drug, another immune therapy drug, which worked, which shortly following my first few infusions, they saw signs on my skin, blotches on my skin, and loss of pigmentation, that they assured me that this was a drug taking hold, and they were very excited, and I should be excited that it was working. And as far as the brain goes, I was assured by Kevin O, my neuro-oncologist up at Mass General, and a quote that I'll never forget. He pushed a stool up in front of me at one of my consultations early on, and he said, "Mike, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to take care of your brain." And you'd never imagine hearing a statement like that, a statement of confidence like that from your brain oncologist at a time when you really needed something positive. Because
exactly.
Through the whole thing, I was concerned and scared. And when you get spots in your brain, it takes it to the highest of levels of concern. And when he said that, it really, gave me a real sense of confidence. And they did. They used the laser knife, built a big halo for my head, and explained to me that this is something they do all the time. And I guess I may not get the terminology correct, but I guess they use GPS coordinates, and they can radiate the little spots in your brain. And they did that, and I never like to brag about being cancer-free, but I guess the ultimate answer to your question is right now, my scans and my MRIs show no cancer. In the brain, they show the spots don't go away. They like become scabs or dead tissue or something like that, but they have not expanded into size, or the doctors would say that, right now everything looks great. So that's a long answer to your short question.
That's terrific, though. I'm glad to hear that. And now what kind of maybe conversations did you have with your family, after diagnosis, and then learning about the spots on your lung, the spots on your brain? It's difficult, I'm sure, for you to take that in, but let alone then now having to go explain that to your family. How did that work?
Well, my wife was with me through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she, just having her by my side, kept me energetic about the cure. She never let me you know, my dark thoughts happened at red lights and when I was alone trying to fall asleep at night. And, you know, that's when you rely on your faith at those times. But whenever I was around her, she was upbeat, almost no concern about dying as a possibility. We really never talked about that, you know, that I in my own mind thought, well, it's a time to get my affairs in order. You know, am I going to see my kids graduate or my grandkids graduate from high school? You know, thoughts like that can get very concerning and very scary. And, you know, you try to get away from them as fast as you can. I wouldn't say that I had any teary conversations with family about possibility of me dying or you know, or how long do you have to live or any of those kind of conversations. Now, there was a time with melanoma where it was a very, very strong possibility that someone stage 3 or 4 melanoma wasn't going to make it, you know. And now there are so many wonderful drugs out there coming out of trial that it's not a death sentence anymore. So if you're, you know, I guess I shouldn't say that, but discussions with family and friends were always upbeat and positive.
Okay.
And mostly that is led by us repeating what the doctors have told us. Mm-hmm. You know, my team of physicians up at Mass General and down here in Florida always allowed us to leave a consultation with a smile on our faces. That's, you know, funny. even when we got bad news, you know.
And now, so how is life now as a survivor? You know, you're now part of the Your Cancer Game Plan campaign.
Right.
You've lent your story, your voice to that. What made you want to be a part of it? And what are you doing in survivorship?
I guess, first of all, before the Your Cancer Game Plan partnership came about, my life is different. It's different. The important things are that I value life differently, look at it differently. I'm more energetic about getting the most I can out of each day. I'm a better friend to my friends, a better husband to my wife. I love deeper and stronger than I ever did before this. Mm-hmm. I feel that life that I have now is a gift. You know, that spot on my back could have never been found if I didn't go into that doctor's office that day on the way to the airport because I had a little thing on my hand that was bugging me. If I didn't go in there, you know, maybe it ends up being stage 4.
Yeah.
Maybe the spots in my lungs and my brain and my lymph nodes would have been progressed twice as far as they were, and maybe I couldn't have been saved, you know. So I'm just grateful for, you know, for the days that I have now, every one of them. I don't look at things like playing bad golf or getting a bad break somewhere here or there as I would have many, many years ago before this came about. So, it's a trite phrase, but a new normal. You know, I live I live from scan to scan. When I have my CT scans or my MRIs, they get to be a little anxious, you know, a little the times before those. So that's an experience that I never had before, that, you know, every 6 months with my body scans and every 3 months with my MRIs, I get a little worried, you know. I mean, I don't take for granted that those things are always going to be clear.
Yeah.
You know, it can come back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I live. And the whole, Your Cancer Game Plan opportunity for me is a wonderful one because I believe people can benefit from my story. Now, I would not say by any means that when I heard this news, that I said to myself, okay, let's develop a game plan.
Uh-huh.
my game plan sort of, you know, came about on its own. I mean, I can tell you what my game plan is now, but I can't tell you that I had a game plan originally. You know, your communication with your doctors and your diet and support from friends and family and faith and all those kind of things are now headings in my game plan.
Yeah.
But you know, they've only become headings in my game plan because of your cancer game plan. Now, you know, I look back and go, well, I did have a game plan, but I didn't know that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And it's important to me now to, for people to have access to that, you know, people that might be a little lost or people that may not have caregivers like I had, and people that are kind of just wondering, what should I do? I was just diagnosed with melanoma. I don't have any idea what to do. You know, they may not have a patient advocate. So if they can look at our website, yourcancergameplan.com, they might have a little bit of a template.
Yeah.
Or not a little bit, a tremendous template for their fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, so I also read that, I guess you were doing the free sunscreen dispensers at Citizens Park. You know, are they available yet? And then are there any efforts they are available? Okay. You know, are there efforts to increase that at maybe ballparks across the country?
Yeah. We are in the second year of the expansion of our Richard David Kahn Foundation a mission to move that mission nationally. That's kind of my role. I've partnered with them, and their foundation is advocacy group that whose mission is education and prevention. The lady that developed the foundation lost her brother to melanoma, and she sort of dedicated her life to fundraising to fight melanoma and skin disease in general. And most of their work to this point has been done in Florida, but I have made it my mission to take it, well, I wouldn't say nationally yet, but we've taken it to Philadelphia where we have struck a partnership with the city of Philadelphia to lead the city of Philadelphia in a plan to become a sun-safe city.
Mm-hmm.
And also the stadium in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park, become a sun-safe stadium and use that as a model, you know, or a template for stadiums and cities around the country. Now, we aren't totally out of Philadelphia ready to take the plan nationally yet, but that's our vision.
Okay.
We're still setting up the template in Philadelphia, mostly with the city. We need to expand our template with the city. They only put 4 sunscreen dispensers around the city, and we have not got curriculum in the Philadelphia schooling yet, but as far as Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, we have 12 dispensers around the stadium, which have people lined up, you know, every day game where the sun would be shining.
Mm-hmm.
To use the sunscreen dispensers, and we have a Prevent Melanoma Day there. This year it's April 22nd. Last year it was very successful, and we do a lot of fundraising at that home game. And again, like I said, it's April 22nd. This year a Sunday game. And we will have, I'll be talking about it on television, and we have videos on the scoreboard and giveaways at the stadium. So it's Melanoma Prevention Day, Richard David Kahn Melanoma Prevention Day. So we've gone quite a distance in Philadelphia, but we still have a long, long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, so do you do any other types of advocacy work in regards to raising awareness about melanoma?
Well, yeah, I have a fundraising group called the Winner's Circle Charities, and it has been around for almost 20 years, actually 17 years. This is long before my diagnosis or my relationship with Your Cancer Game Plan or Richard David Kahn Foundation, but this is a big fundraising gala, and there are actually 3 charities involved with that, and it's connected with a offshore fishing tournament. And we gave quite a bit of money to melanoma, to the Richard David Kahn Foundation for melanoma research, you know, to promote their mission. So I'm involved in a lot of things.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
The bottom line is I end up producing a lot of funds for the prevention of skin disease and melanoma.
And now, so these are some you know, more of the emotional challenges. These are what the next couple of questions maybe relate to. But what has been your biggest challenge since completing treatment?
Keep things in perspective. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
That's my biggest challenge.
Okay.
Where I, you know, I sometimes forget that I went through this and I was gifted with life free of cancer. You know, I mean, the little things that, just the general things in life that happen. And I should have a smile on my face, 24 hours a day minus the time I'm sleeping. Just because yeah. of, you know what I mean? Because of the gift that I've been given. Yeah. Sometimes I get preoccupied with life. I should be 24/7 just being thankful for what the good Lord has allowed me to get through and how I feel right now and how I'm, you know, how I can say right now that I'm cancer free and all those kind of things. I mean, it was a tough road, but it could have been a lot tougher, and it may not have had a happy ending. It has had a happy ending. So keeping that at the forefront of my daily life has probably been my toughest. And I only say toughest because it's human nature.
Yeah. Right?
It's kind of human nature. If you get out of something like this, and you get involved in other things, and you know, and when I do a Your Cancer Game Plan appearance, or when people ask me about it, or Richard David Kahn, or Winter Circle Charities, that's when my brain kind of goes back to, oh, the reality of my life. But then I'll go for, you know, 3 or 4 days and get involved in other things in life and not, you know, not keep it at the forefront of my mind. So probably not getting, what did I say originally?
Keeping things in perspective.
perspective. There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's probably my toughest challenge.
Yeah.
Toughest challenge.
Okay. And now, so if you could offer a piece of advice to other cancer survivors, whether it be melanoma or any type of disease, what would that piece of advice be?
Pretty much the obvious ones. At a time when it's very hard to stay positive. And if you don't have an advocate like a wife or a husband or someone you're close to involve themselves with advocacy for you, there are advocacy groups out there that I would recommend getting in touch with. Heck, I would say now that Your Cancer Game Plan's in place there at the Merck website, I would definitely go to that and consider it a possible template for my battle against cancer. Your team of doctors, communication with your team of doctors, and being honest with them and asking them questions and researching whatever the issue is with you on the internet, learning about it, asking, as I said, asking questions, relying on friends. I mean, try to be as positive as you can around friends so that friends find it easy, as we said earlier, to be with you. It's much easier for people to be with you and be positive around you if they know you're positive. And I guess the last thing is faith. You need to kind of look in the mirror and question at what level of faith you have, because there are going to be a lot of times when sometimes there's nowhere to turn but to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that to examine one's commitment to faith. And kind of like that's basically that was all part of my game plan, which is now on yourcancergameplan.com.
Join us next week when we speak with genetic counselor Whitney Duquesne as she breaks down what you need to know about at-home genetic testing and the importance of still seeking professional medical advice after getting your results.
The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.